Okay, good evening everybody, and welcome to the Cabinet meeting of Monday the 15th of March. We'll proceed with the meeting now. So item number one is to receive apologies for absence. Andrea.
Thank you, Leader. We've received apologies from Councillor S. McGarry, Cabinet support member. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Item number two is declarations of interest. Are there any declarations in respect of the agenda items? No. Okay. Takes us on to item number three, and that is to approve as a correct record the public minutes of the meeting held on the 15th of February 2021. I would like to propose that we approve those minutes. Seconded by Councillor Peters. Does anybody have any questions on the minutes? Any comments? Okay, so all those in favour. That's all eligible voting members in favour. So I will sign those at a point in the future. Item number four is to consider any urgent business brought under Rule 12. I don't believe we have any urgent business. So item number five is the forward plan, and Chief Executive.
Thank you, Leader. This is the forward plan from the 1st of March this year, right the way through to the 30th of June. Happy to take any questions on the forward plan.
Thank you. Are there any questions on the forward plan? No? Okay. Right, which takes us on then to item number six, the quarter three revenue and capital outturn 2020-21. And we'll invite Lisa Turner into the meeting to present. Good evening. Welcome, Lisa.
Good evening, Leader.
We are on item number six, so if I may pass to you to present, please.
Certainly. I shall just share my screen. So this is the quarter three financial outturn for the current financial year, 2021. And the purpose is to present the quarter three forecast financial outturn position for 2021, covering the revenue budget, capital programme, and also treasury risk management activities. So we start by looking at the revenue budget. This is covered in section four of the report. And the council, like all local authorities, is experiencing significant cost pressures, but also significant loss of income arising from the COVID-19 pandemic. And what the report shows in the table on screen, at this point in year, there is a forecast outturn which shows a relatively small surplus after taking into account additional COVID-19 support from central government of around 190,000, which is around 1.7% against the net revenue budget of just over £11 million. As usual, there is some narrative within the report at paragraph 4.2, covering the most significant forecast variations at this point in the year, together with Appendix A, which shows more detailed variations. Overall, therefore, this is a very positive forecast at this stage of the year. It shows that the authority has been resilient and able to adapt to the unprecedented period of funding reductions to public spending. And with the additional support from central government, the authority has responded positively to the challenge and impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Demonstrates that budget holders are continuing to examine and challenge their spending throughout the year, and the council's underlying financial position is robust and resilient. The capital programme is outlined at section 6 of the report, and paragraph 6.1 in the table there sets out our progress against a programme of 6.7 million, with a number of projects taking place over several years. Overall, the programme is in line with approved budgets. Now, section 5 and 8 of the report cover treasury and risk management. At the end of quarter three, our investment stood at 52.1 million with the a schedule attached at Appendix B to the report in the usual manner. Average returns, whilst well below budget, are above both the Bank of England baseline and benchmarks. The report continues to highlight the risk associated with the timing of capital receipts that we've committed as part of the MTFS. And borrowing stood at 11 million at the end of the quarter, which is broadly in line with the previous position. So overall, treasury management activities have been in line with the approved treasury management strategy. And with regard to risk management, Appendix C to the report sets out the strategic and corporate risks facing the authority, together with the measures being taken to manage those risks. So in summary, at this point in the year, overall it continues to be a positive position, which provides a strong foundation to enable the council to deliver its objectives. And the recommendations set out in the report to note the financial position at quarter three of 2021 in relation to the revenue capital budget, together with the degree of financial uncertainty that exists due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and to note the latest position in respect of the council's investments and borrowing, and finally to note the corporate and strategic risk, together with actions being taken to manage these. That covers the key points in the report. I'm happy to pass back to you, Leader, for any questions or comments.
Lisa, thank you very much indeed. Are there any questions or comments? Okay. I'd like to extend my thanks to Lisa and the team, indeed all the teams and the heads of service for the hard work in getting us to what is a, as Lisa states, a positive outturn projected position. Again, I should probably extend thanks also to central government. But it is worth noting, and I think Lisa alluded to it, that other local authorities, despite having central government funding, are still looking at shortfalls. So the positive and long-term proactive management of the finances here clearly has had a positive effect. So if there are no further questions, then I would like to move the recommendations as outlined in section 12 of the report. Can I have a second for that? Councillor Faulkner, all in favour? That's all voting members in favour. Thank you very much indeed. Lisa, thank you very much for the presentation. I shall bid you good evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
Okay, which takes us on to item number 7, which is the Corporate Plan Performance Report 2021 Quarter 3. And pause for a moment to bring in James Abbott.
Sorry, Leader, it's Dan Arnold.
Do you apologise? I've written the wrong name down, even though you told me. Evening, Dan. We are on item number 7, so I'll pass over to you if I may.
Thank you, Leader. So this performance report provides an update on the Council's progress towards achieving the priorities set out in the corporate plan at the end of the third quarter of this 2021 financial year. There are 109 indicators across the three corporate priorities, each graded in the usual red, amber or green to reflect their progress towards achieving the targets. Out of the 109 targets, 84 are green, 3 are amber, 6 are red. 3 are not yet due to be reported, including 2 which are proposed to be deferred this evening. 11 have previously been agreed to be deferred, and 2 have previously been agreed to be deleted. So of those 93 targets that are live, 90.32% are green, 3.23% are amber, and 6.45% are red. So overall, this is another positive performance report, with over 90% of the live targets fully achieved or on track to being achieved. Full performance information for all corporate indicators can be seen in Appendix 1. However, a summary is available in Table 2. This is broken down into corporate priority and cabinet portfolios. Section 5.5 of the report highlights those targets that have been assigned a red or amber status, and each target has a detailed update. There are 2 targets that are recommended for deferral. In mid-December 2020, the government published a green paper on public procurement for consultation. So it's therefore recommended that the 2 targets, VFM03 and VFM04, listed in Table 4, are deferred pending the outcome of this consultation. This recommendation and the recommendations note the performance report are set out at Section 12. Thank you, Leader.
Thank you, Dan. Does anybody have any questions or comments on the report? No? Okay. As Dan indicates also, it's a positive position to be in at this point in the year, and particularly in terms of the year we've had. So obviously we were able to amend some of the corporate plan targets going into the pandemic. However, the fact that we have still managed to achieve 90% of them, and ones that are currently not on track or have been missed are largely down to COVID-related items or activity. So I think it is, again, a very positive overall position. So if there are no further questions, I would like to move the recommendations at Section 12 of the report. Can I have a second if you want, please? Councillor Peters, all those in favour? That's unanimous from the voting members, thank you. Dan, thank you very much indeed. I bid you good evening.
Thank you. Good evening.
Okay, so that takes us on to item number 8, which is the progress report on reducing the number of empty homes in the borough. I've got Brett Atkinson written down, and I can see he's in the attendee room, so we'll take a punt that I've got it right.
Good evening.
Good evening, Brett. Welcome. We are on item number 8, so I'll hand over to you to present when you're ready, please.
Thank you, Leader. This report provides a review of the first 18 months of the Council's empty home service provided by Grafton UK and proposes an approach for enforcement against selected and tractable empty homes where necessary. Since the empty home service was mobilised in May 2019, it has responded to a total of 320 empty homes. Of these, 101 homes have been successfully brought back into use. Of the remaining 219 homes, a small minority need to be considered for enforcement in order to bring the home back into use. There is every reason to be satisfied with the performance of the contract to date, and as COVID-19 restrictions are eased, it is believed that the pace of activity will increase. Grafton's contact with owners is based on an escalating approach using a combination of advice, guidance and persuasion. If there is insufficient response to a series of contacts culminating in letter 4, which is based on the measure of contact set out in paragraph 5.6, it is unlikely that any additional informal contact will yield a result. It is at this point that the Council will need to consider enforcement action if the home is to be brought back into use within a reasonable timescale. The enforced sale procedure is used by many other local authorities and seems to offer the best route to securing the occupation of troublesome empty homes. Enforced sale is used to bring about a change in ownership. The key prerequisite is that there is an outstanding debt against the property owed to the council, as it is the presence of a charge on the property that provides the basis for the enforced sale procedure. The council has all the powers and remedies available to a mortgagee under the Law of Property Act 1925, which includes the power to sell the property with all secured debts being paid out of the sale proceeds. There is a flow chart setting out the procedure at paragraph 6.6. The proposal is to establish which of the empty homes that reach letter 4 also have a local land charge owed to the council, thus making them suitable for an application under the enforced sale procedure. The enforced sale procedure offers a number of significant advantages over the other tools for taking enforcement against empty homes, which can be found at Appendix 2. Advantages that have been identified are as follows. The problem property is passed onto a new owner and does not become the responsibility of the council. The existence of the land charge means that the empty home has been a problem in the past and may be a problem again in the future if the property is not brought back into use. The council will recoup outstanding charges. The enforced sale procedure does not involve a lengthy court process or a huge volume of evidence and legal argument. It is therefore comparatively quick and less administratively arduous. The costs of enforcement can be deducted from the proceeds of the sale, and owners of empty homes who are not subject to this action will nonetheless recognise the risk of enforcement in the future, which may increase compliance with both statutory notices and the empty home service. So the recommendation is to endorse enforced sale as the council's preferred mechanism for taking enforcement against problematic empty homes. That concludes my summary, so I'll hand back to you, Leader, for any questions.
Brett, thank you very much indeed for that and for the detailed accompanying report. Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Leader. I'd like to enforce exactly the report that Brett has placed in front of Cabinet this evening, making a note that any enforcement action in terms of sale will only be taken after Cabinet approval. So before any decision is made, Cabinet discussion will take place. And as Brett has said, this is the most cost-effective and less resource intensive avenue for the Cabinet to take, for the Council to take. So I recommend it wholeheartedly to the Cabinet. And thank Brett for his work.
Thank you, Councillor, for that. Are there any other questions? No? Okay. Obviously, we have been through this in some detail prior to this evening's meeting, so I'm certainly very comfortable with it as an approach. In order to bring these empty homes back into use, which are is a critically important part of our overall housing strategy. So I would like to propose a recommendation set out at section 13 of the report, and what a second from Councillor Faulkner. All those in favour? Okay, that's unanimous from voting members, thank you. Brett, thank you very much indeed for the presentation and for your hard work on this to date.
Excellent. Thank you, and good evening all.
Good evening. Bye. Take us on to item number 9, which is the review of court costs for council tax and business rates. I'll just pause for a moment to bring in Sarah Richardson. Good evening and welcome, Sarah. We are on item number 9, which is the review of court costs for council tax and business rates. So I'll hand over to you to present, please.
Thank you very much, Leader. So the court cost review is in the corporate plan, and we regularly benchmark our costs with other Staffordshire districts. So I'm part of the Staffordshire Revenues Managers Group. And earlier this calendar year, a question was circulated within the group as to whether any districts would be changing their costs. None of the other local authorities indicated they would be changing their costs. Now, East Staffordshire has had the lowest costs in Staffordshire, and our last review took place in 2017. We've undertaken a review, as you'll note from the report, And you'll also see that option two is the preferred option, as it enables the council to generate more income whilst aligning with local authority costs across the county. It's proposed that the cost will be increased by £5, with the increase added to summons costs only, as the majority of the work is undertaken up to summons stage. That means that liability order costs remain unchanged. As we aren't yet fully certain of the full financial effects of the pandemic, it's also proposed that we conduct a further review of the costs during quarter two of 2022. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much, Sarah. Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Leader. I'm happy to actually accept recommendation two in line with the report. As you said earlier, we've discussed this in Cabinet, and I'm very happy with how Sarah's gone about her work and with the review that she's done. I'm comfortable with the costs that are recommended in option two.
Thank you very much indeed. Any other questions, comments, or observations? No? Okay. In which case, I would like to move the recommendations as set out in item 12 of the report. Can I have a seconder for that? Councillor Faulkner, thank you. All those in favour? Okay, that's unanimous across the voting members. Thank you. Don't go anywhere, Sarah. Item number 10, review of recovery and write-off policies.
Thank you very much, Leader. Again, the review of these policies is in the corporate plan. And in both policies, we've updated the wording to add more emphasis on supporting debtors. In the recovery policy, you'll now notice we include reference to breathing space legislation, which will be implemented with effect from the 4th of May 2021. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Sarah. Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you. I'm happy to go with the recommendations from Sarah on this again, Leader. And thank Sarah for this report and the previous report of the work she's done.
Thank you very much. Any other questions, comments, observations? I wholeheartedly agree with you, Councillor Faulkner. So I will move the recommendation as set out in section 12 of the report. Can I have a seconder? Councillor Faulkner, all those in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Sarah, thank you very much indeed for your attendance and for the reports and for all of your hard work. Wish a good evening.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Thank you. Okay, which takes us on to item number 11, which is the Smarter Street Cleaning Programme update report on the IT management system. And I'll bring in Paul Farrer in a moment. Good evening. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Leader. Good evening, everyone.
On item 11, so I'll pass to you, if I may.
Thank you. The Council has been using the Bartek system successfully in waste collection for a number of years, and it's found to be invaluable in the delivery of that service. And as part of the street cleaning review in 2019, approval was given to procure a similar module to support the street cleaning service. It consists of an in-cab vehicle unit, which is used by the drivers, supported by a back-office system that works in real time. The main purpose is to enable the more proactive management of resources and to help identify and manage hotspot areas. The key benefits are outlined at paragraph 4.1 in the report, and they include the scheduling of both regular jobs and seasonal demands, the improved planning of resources, and the automated reporting of cleanliness levels. The project has progressed slightly lower than anticipated, although we've seen increased demands on the service this year. Many people have been out walking during lockdown, and dog ownership levels have increased, and this has resulted in pressure on both litter bin emptying and litter picking in general. On the positive side, the in-cab units have now been installed, The mapping of the sweeper routes is very near to completion, and then we'll move on to the litter picking routes and the litter bin emptying programme with the intention to complete all the work during May. There is one risk in the report to note, which is as we start to capture and assess data and analyse the demands, some wards may see a reduction in their current level of service. For example, there's little merit in sweeping a street if it's not needed, just because the historic schedule tells us that it requires it. This is all about the reallocation of resources to those areas where it's most needed. Thank you, Leader. Happy to pass back to you and take any questions.
Thank you very much indeed, Paul. Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Leader. I'm looking forward to the benefits and the impact of this and as the information is gathered throughout the year. We note the risk management in terms of some areas may not need to be cleaned just because history says they need to be cleaned, but as Paul says, it will actually allow us to use our resources in the areas where they're needed most. And I'm looking forward to that impact. Thank you very much, Paul, for an excellent report.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm looking forward to it too. Any other questions or comments? Okay, in which case are members content to note the current position as outlined in the recommendation? Okay, thank you. We shall note that. Thank you very much indeed, Paul, for the update, and thank you for your attendance this evening.
Thank you. Good evening.
Okay, which takes us on to the next item, which is the meeting. So I'll move that in accordance with section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, that the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraph of part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act.